Well, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 as we continue our series on Paul, Timothy, and troubled times. We had a two-week break there for Palm Sunday and for Easter, and so we're back at it again. Sarah asked this morning, are you finishing up? Oh, someday I will, but we're kind of taking our time as we move through this, and there are more lessons for us to learn here, I believe. You know, just to quickly summarize, Paul's encouraging Timothy to be faithful in these hard times, and he's preparing Timothy because he's aware that Paul is about to die, that he's going to be executed very likely, and he won't be there to help Timothy. So he tells him, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. He speaks of his impending death as a departure, like, hey, I'm fixing to take another, you know, trip on a boat or whatever. It's a Christian view of what death is for us. We're moving on another journey, and we talked about this 3 weeks ago. But then looking back over his life, Paul declares in the next verse, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. I've used this a million times for funeral services for God's people. Fought the good fight, finished the race. Well, I want to focus on that phrase, I've fought the good fight, for just a minute. So Paul's statement raises a question for us. Against whom or what was Paul fighting? Earlier in this letter, Paul has told Timothy to be a good soldier. He said, endure hardship like a good soldier. Make every effort to please your commanding officer. So we have some direction for us as soldiers, but he didn't really say who the enemy was that we were to engage. Who or what are we to fight against as soldiers, right? And Paul tells Timothy, you're going to be opposed by others. Paul had experience with that. His life had been threatened. He had been beaten and shipwrecked. He had been falsely accused. He'd been jailed, and he was in prison when he writes this letter now to Timothy and facing execution by the Roman Empire. But here's Paul, instead of giving Timothy instruction on here's what you do to crush the opposition, here's what you do to shut them down somehow or another, Paul writes, remember in chapter 2, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. I just kind of think Timothy read that and went, seriously? Seriously? That's what's expected of me? I mean, how can that be? Then he said, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they'll come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Boy, think about that. He must be kind to everyone and not resentful. And those who oppose him, instead of screaming at him and whatever, why don't you try this? Gently instruct them with the goal that you're going to bring them to repentance and they'll realize the error of their ways and the trap that they've been in. How about trying it that way? So Paul directs Timothy to stay focused on sharing Jesus, on teaching and bringing people to repentance. That's the goal. We're not fighting people. It's not about winning arguments. It's not about crushing the opposition. It's about proclaiming Jesus. And Paul tells Timothy, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. So understand this morning, our fight isn't against the people who oppose us. We're not supposed to do it. Paul says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world. It's this influence of evil and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The fight Paul's been engaged in was a spiritual battle. So with whom are we fighting? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, he mentions three enemies of our soul and of our Christian walk. He mentions the world, the flesh, and the devil. That sounds like a book. It sounds like something you've heard before, right? So let's talk about that for a minute. That's our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, what do we mean? We're fighting the good fight against the world. We're not fighting against the planet. We're not fighting against God's creation. We're not fighting a holy war against people who don't know Jesus. Tried that a time or two in history. Didn't work out too well, the Crusades and all that. So we're not fighting a holy war. So what are we fighting when we're fighting against the world? Well, when we talk about the world, we're talking about the ways and values and perspectives of culture and society that are in opposition to God and His Word. Think about things like materialism and greed and pride and arrogance and violence. Think about the things that Paul mentions in chapter 3 when he says terrible times are going to come in the last days, and then he begins to describe people being lovers of themselves and envious and proud and arrogant and disobedient to parents and haters and lovers of pleasure and all those things that are listed there. Yeah, that's kind of describing that culture and values of the world, values that love and serve pleasure more than loving and serving God. The world, our society and culture, values self over God's word and God's will and God's design. The world, our culture, celebrates confusion and brokenness and can't even see the irony of that, that we hold up something that's broken and marred and disfigured by sin and say, and that's something to us, to long for and something to model. Like, seriously, we're going to celebrate that? Let's give trophies for just being broken and confused? And that's the world. The world celebrates brokenness and then wants to squeeze the church into a broken mold. And claiming to celebrate individualism, the world actually fights to force and shame you into compliance with a damaged and distorted worldview. As followers of Jesus, when we fight the good fight, we're pushing back against that. We've always been, remember, we don't live like the rest of the world. That's not what we're called to do. We're to take up a cross and follow Jesus. And so we're iconoclasts. We're swimming against the... any of y'all children of the 60s? We march to the beat of a different drummer. Come on, nobody remembers Henry David Thoreau. What happened to the? What happened to my people? Anyway, we're marching to something different because we're swimming upstream because we're serving Jesus. And he said, look, this is a narrow path and a straight path, and there's not a whole lot that are going to find it. And these are the choices we're making because we're obeying him. As followers of Jesus, we fight this good fight, rejecting the influence and the ways of the world and in choosing instead to walk in obedience to God's word and to God's way and to God's order and design and plan for us. Listen, that's why we live the way we do, because that's what the Word of God says and what Jesus calls us to. And the world says, but you're not gonna, and well, you know what the world says. You hear it every day, right? You're just weird by following Jesus. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's who we are. Come on. We're servants of the Lord Jesus. And listen to me. Here's the truth. I'm not just saying that because, well, we ought to all be weirder, right? It never gets weird enough. But here's the truth. God's saving grace brings wholeness and restoration to the brokenness of our soul and of our life and our values and our choices. It changes everything. And so receiving Jesus and this new life delivers us from the broken, marred, messed up version of ourselves that we are, and it brings us to the whole person that God designed and created and wants us to be. We discover then that there's wholeness. We discover then that we reflect the image of Christ. We're being made to become conformable to his image. That's what the call's all about. And so don't allow the world to force you into a broken, distorted mold, a broken, distorted version of who you are. Instead, fight this good fight by trusting in Jesus and living according to his word, and you'll discover what God has always meant for you to be. You're going to discover the best version of yourself, the best life possible. Keep choosing to follow Jesus because God has a better path for you. And the world system and the world's pattern is broken and messed up, and there's no way around it. But there is truth. There's a path that leads to death and a path that leads to life. Choose the path that leads to life. Fight the good fight and fight against that pressure to conform to the world's broken, distorted pattern. Choose to walk with Jesus. So we fight against the world, then we fight against the flesh. We're not talking about our skin, but rather our own sinful human nature, that nature that apart from Jesus and his saving grace wants to just indulge itself in whatever we choose, regardless of what God or his word has to say about it, regardless of whether it's good for us or destructive. We just kind of want what we want, and we want it when we want it. If you've took psychology in school, then they probably taught you about Freud's theory of whatever, the id and the ego and the superego. Well, think about the human nature apart from God's redeeming grace as the id. It's the part that just says, I want what I want. Don't bother me with anything else. I want what I want. You got it. I'm going to bust you in the face and I'm going to take what I want. That's what I want. I want to eat chocolate ice cream, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's what I'm going to have. And I'll sprinkle cashews on it and rain on the rest of you or whatever. What's not healthy for you? I don't care. Because this is how I want to live my life. I don't care that it's destructive. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and if you don't like it, just get away. That's the flesh that says, this is the way I want to do it. I'm going to take what I want. I don't care. I don't care if she's your wife. I don't care if that's your girlfriend. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I want what I want, and we're going to take it all somewhere or another. That's the way we live. Paul speaks of this battle with our flesh, and he says, we all used to live that way. He's using this phrase, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. It's the way we thought. It's the way we acted. It's the way we treated other people. We wanted what we wanted when we wanted it. But living that way and ignoring God's word and just going our own way, gratifying our flesh in defiance of God's way and God's word, leads to death, separation from God. It leads to hell. So the writer of Proverbs said, there's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but in the end, it leads to death. Let me just say it as clearly as I know how to say it this morning. Choosing our way over God's way is deadly. It's deadly. It'll end in death. Choosing to go your own way, but it just feels so right to me, right? Who was the great theologian that wasn't a great theologian? That was sarcasm. Remember that song from the whenever that was? If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Yeah, that's the world. That's the flesh. If this is wrong, I don't want to be right because this is who I am. But who I am is distorted apart from Jesus. And what I choose to do is going to lead me to death and to hell and separation from God. But when I surrender it to Jesus and when I find the path that leads to life, listen, I've found the answer. This is the path for us. And so listen to me. There is a better way and a better choice. Through our faith in Jesus, Paul continues in Ephesians 2. He says, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. It's by grace you've been saved. He saved us. He's made us alive. It's not just that he's helped us or that we're doing better. We've turned over a new leaf. We were dead and now we're alive. He's brought us from death to life. He's changed us and saved us. And he saved us so we no longer have to live according to that old sinful nature. We no longer have to make choices that always end in brokenness and death. But there is life for us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We can choose the living way instead of a way that leads to death and destruction. Now here's the thing. The reality for us as believers, we're redeemed by God's mercy. We're saved, right? By grace we've been saved. We're enabled to live for him. But the reality is we can still be tempted and drawn away from godly choices. So we have to keep fighting that good fight against sin and temptation. We have to keep choosing Jesus. We have to know that it's still within us on any given day to make some really dumb choices and do things that are not pleasing to God. James writes in his little book, each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. James doesn't say the devil, you know, that little picture of the little guy with a pitchfork on one shoulder and a little angel on the other, do this, don't do that, and whatever, and it's that kind of thing. James says, you don't have to have the devil telling you to do that. It's just you. It's just you every morning that says, nah, you don't want to do that. It's just you every morning that says, go ahead and eat the ice cream for breakfast. What harm is it going to do, right? It's just that little voice that says, go ahead, call her. I mean, who cares if you cheat on your wife? It's really not going to be that big deal. I mean, who really cares? It's that little voice. It's you. It's just you. And this fight's going on. Paul, remember, talks about it in Romans 6 when he talks about that which I want to do and then I don't do, that which I know I ought to not do. That's what I want to do. That's the battle that's going on. And so we've got to fight this good fight against that, what Brother McQueen used to call that devilish human nature, whatever. Yeah, it's there. It wants its own way in opposition to God's way. So it doesn't all come just easy, I got to tell you. and after serving Jesus for 60 years, you can still on any given day go, well, I think I'm just going to throw it all away and head this direction. We still have to make a choice to serve Jesus and to remain faithful and to do what the book says to do. But the world says this, I know, but the Bible says this, and I've given my heart to Jesus, and I've pledged to live according to his word, and this is what he calls me to, and this is the path that leads to life, and that path leads to death and destruction, so I'm going to choose this one. God, help me. Help me to say no to sin and say yes to you and keep heading in that direction. Choose to flee temptation, reject the devil, reject sin, and make those godly choices. I ran across something John Piper said this last week. He talking about what he prayed every day, and he said, one thing, I pray against sin. He said, I pray, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from sin. And then he wrote this. He said, sin is the only enemy that will damn you at the judgment. Satan can't damn you. He can't condemn you and destroy you. Sin can. Think about that. Satan can't destroy you. Sin can. What is it that's keeping you from God and from eternal life with him? What's keeping you? Sin. And we have to fight against it. We have to say no to that. I heard a guy say, yeah, I've got a prophetic word from the Lord. God told me to tell you, stop it. Right? That's the word from the Lord. Stop it. That's a pretty good word. It's pretty clear. Just stop it. Stop it. And, well, it's not that easy. No, but that's where you start, is by saying, I've got to stop this, and I've got to surrender my heart to Jesus, and I've got to choose to fight this good fight and do what's right. Well, you know, I'm Italian, and so that's just the way I am. Well, I'm Irish, and that's just the way I am. No, 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 no. Well, you know what? This is the way I was born. I was born with this. I feel like I'm this, or I feel like I'm that. None of that matters. The cross and obedience to Jesus cancels everything else up beyond that. And the choice to live for Jesus is stronger than nature, nurture, everything else. It's about following Jesus and obeying him. It's a choice that you make. It's discipleship. It's choosing to live for the Lord. That's the choice we're going to make. And we understand sin will destroy us and condemn us, but we can walk with Jesus. Paul's telling Timothy and us to embrace God's way and to live according to God's word, and don't give in to sin. Fight against surrendering to the pressures of an ungodly culture. Fight against surrendering to temptation that's stirred in your own fleshly nature. Fight against it, and let's win this battle. Let's keep serving the Lord. Then the third thing, we fight against the devil and his schemes. The Bible speaks of the devil as an adversary, a slanderer, a tempter, deceiver, a liar. Jesus said he was the father of lies. The truth was never found in him. A murderer, an accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren, Revelation calls him. The evil one. Revelation 12 speaks of the devil, or Satan, he says, as the one who leads the whole world astray. So all of those names and titles and descriptions give us some idea of what he's up to. And the fact that he directs those efforts and attacks against the church, against God's people, collectively and individually, he's working to lead us all astray. Talk about fake news, all right? Everything the devil does, he's trying to lead us astray from the truth, right? It's not real. He's photoshopped the pictures. He's changed everything. He's distorted it because he's trying to lead us astray and away from God and God's will and his work. He's working to influence each of us to turn away from God and his word and to choose a course of action that will put us back into bondage and back into the prison from which Christ has set us free. Paul says, look, Christ has set you free. Don't be entangled again. Don't go back to prison. Don't go back to this. Jesus came to set you free. Walk in the freedom. Walk in the freedom and in the life that he gives to you. And Paul tells us in Ephesians, we need to be aware of the schemes of the devil, the tricks that he uses to trip us up and to distract us and misdirect us and mislead us, to take our eyes off of the prize and the calling of God and to lead us astray. He'll cause us to divert our attention to stuff that doesn't matter, and we miss the plan and the purpose of God. Friends, we're in a battle. We have to fight the good fight. Don't be distracted or misled. Don't let the devil lead you astray. Listen, there'll be all kinds of talk about this is the latest thing, this is the best thing. Put your eyes over here. You just need to keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I remember, I got to hurry here, but I remember in a hotel in in Israel, and the leaders of state were there, the Clintons were there, and a bunch of people or whatever. And so a crowd had gathered in the lobby and is like, what's going on? How come we can't get, oh, the Bill Clinton's coming down the elevator. We're all going to wait. And so everybody's standing there and they're watching because they had said they're coming down these elevators over here. And what happened was they had everybody focus in that direction. The Secret Service and everybody distracted us, and they brought him downstairs somewhere else. We missed it because they had us looking another direction. Let me tell you, the devil wants to distract you from the truth. This is shiny, and this is fun, and this is bright, and you're going to love this or whatever, and the devil has us looking here when life is right here in front of us in obedience to Jesus. We'll miss the important thing if we're distracted with a bunch of stuff that really doesn't amount to anything. Don't be distracted. But understand this, we're not defenseless in this battle. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the devil's schemes. Paul wouldn't tell us that we could stand if we couldn't. So he tells us, oh, you can stand in this. Stand firm then. Belt of truth around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith and you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy, of the evil one. Put the helmet of salvation on your head, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And on top of that, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request in the Spirit. There's spiritual armor that comes with spiritual power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Let me remind you this morning, you say, but it's too much for me. I just can't do it. I can't serve God that way. Listen, we're not going up against the devil or the world or our flesh unarmed or in our own strength and power. What'd he say? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and then do these things, because if we're standing in him, we're going to make it. He's empowering us and he's equipping us, and we can stand against the schemes of the devil. We've got the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he'll be within you and he'll be with you, and by his power and his anointing and his wisdom, we'll recognize the plans of the and the attacks of the enemy. We'll stand firm in the truth of God's word, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and we can overcome the attacks of the enemy. You are not defenseless. You can fight this good fight and you can win the battle. We've got the weapon of prayer in every situation, every moment, when the enemy comes and to attack us, when we're tempted to sin, to compromise. Pray and call on the Lord. Turn to him. Ask for his help. We've got the weapon of God's word, and by hiding God's word in our heart, the Holy Spirit then can bring God's word to our mind and direct our choices so that we choose what's in keeping with God's word, and it'll keep us from yielding to temptation and engaging in sin. We're not defenseless. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. The Bible says if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, that same Spirit will quicken our mortal body so we can choose to walk by the Spirit and not be led by our own flesh. The Bible says greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. You don't have to live in defeat and sin, because he's redeemed us so that we can walk in victory. John said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We've got a faith anchored in the word of God. We're destined for victory, so keep fighting the good fight of faith, because folks, there is victory ahead for us. Let me wrap this up. James writes about the inner struggle that we battle, part of fighting the good fight. He reminds us that God will give us the grace we need. And I love this phrase, James 4, verse 6, but he gives us more grace. Oh man, his grace is amazing, but when I feel like I'm running short, there's even more. His mercies are new every morning, and there's even more grace available to us. And that's why the scripture says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. One translation says he arrays himself against the proud. Let me tell you, if you're not surrendered to God, he says, well, let's read the rest of it. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. Let me just tell you, submit yourself to God. Stop pushing against God. Right? I mean, he says God opposes. He arrays himself against the proud. Well, somebody wrote a play about your arms are too short to box with God. Exactly. That's scriptural right there. What you to go against God, how do you think you're going to win that, all right? How do you think you're going to come out on the winning end of that deal? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Fight the fight. Well, I've tried, but I keep losing the battle. But here's the good news. There's more grace available. Rely upon that. There's more grace available. He gives more grace, adequate, all-sufficient grace. So do what James says to do in these last 4 minutes. Submit yourself to God. Surrender to him and to his word and his will. Surrender to his design for you and for your life, his purpose. There's a God-ordained plan for you, right? The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Submit yourself to him. Examine your heart. Are you surrendered to him, or are you still fighting against him and trying to go your own way in all this? Look, it's part of fighting the good fight and winning the battle is saying, Lord, I surrender to you and your plan. You direct me and I'm going to say yes to you. And then he says, resist the devil, take your stand, put on the armor of God. We mentioned, draw your sword, keep the shield of faith up. Stop making it easy for the devil, all right? It's like, I don't have to worry about that guy. He's always going to take the path of least resistance. No, stop. Don't surrender to the enemy. Don't stop being tripped up by the little stuff, right? Let's stand our ground. And then number three, come near to God. Get to know him. How does God reveal himself to us? By his spirit and through his word. Read God's word. Let his word open your eyes to his character and his good plans for you and for your life. There's a lot of people that have been pushing against God for 40 years because they just knew that God was going to mess them up somehow or another. And finally, they come to the realization, you know what? I've been fighting against God, and all God ever wanted for me was to be the best version I could be of myself and who he wanted me to discover what life was all about instead of this pattern of death and destruction and distortion and all this stuff. And I found him, and he mended all the broken parts of my life. Why in the world did I push him away for all those years when I could find real life in Jesus? Come near to him. Move toward him in prayer, in worship, in reflection, and meditation on his word. Study and reflect on the word of God. And the more you know him, the closer you're going to want to be to him. And James says, and the closer you move towards him, he's going to move toward you. He'll come closer, and his presence in your life becomes richer and deeper and fuller, and you'll become more aware of his presence. And the more of Jesus, the more you want to move towards him, and the more he pours himself into your life. And James adds at the end of that passage, humble yourselves then before the Lord, and he will lift you up. If you've been knocked down and feel like you can't make it, humble yourself before the Lord and turn to him. He'll lift you up. He'll enable you to stand when the devil has taken his best shot at you. You'll still be able to stand. So listen, it's later than it's ever been, literally. We're closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. Times are troubled. Pressure increases to compromise our faith or to abandon the faith entirely. Now more than ever, we need to hear Paul's words and be inspired and motivated to fight the good fight of faith. Fight and stand your ground against a culture of compromise and confusion, a culture that calls good evil and evil good. Refuse to compromise. Fight against the weakness and compromise within your own flesh, your own mind or heart or soul or spirit. Flee temptation. Call on the Lord. Lean into him. Rely on his grace. And if you exhaust all that grace, ask him, because he says he gives us more grace. Trust him and move towards him. Fight against the devil and his lies and his constant distortion of the truth and misdirection. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Put on the whole armor of God. Bathe your life in prayer. Resist the devil. Yes, there's a battle going on, but we have a commander in chief who's conquered every foe, including death and hell and the grave and the devil. He leads us in a triumphant procession, and we can walk and live in victory if we'll just keep our eyes on him and keep doing what he says to do. Amen? Don't hesitate to obey his commands, because he doesn't lose battles. He's leading us in triumph, and we can trust him. So I want us to pray. I want us to do what James says to do. I want us to submit ourselves to God and move towards him. And James continued in that passage. He said, there are times we need to wash our hands and purify our hearts. Don't be double-minded, he says. Grieve and mourn over our sins, and then humble ourselves before the Lord. That's how we fight this good fight and we win. We fight the battle on our knees in prayer. We fight it humbly. We fight it as we surrender and submit to him. Let's take a minute to do that today. Lord Jesus, we surrender our hearts and lives to you. And whether in the house or watching online today, Lord, we're just saying yes to you. And somebody here today, you need to just submit yourself and your life to the Lord today. You're a Christian. You've asked Jesus into your heart. You've served him. But there's been struggles and battles going on. And the world and your own flesh and temptation, it's been pulling you in another direction. It's been pulling you away from what God has for you. It's been pulling you away from God's best for you. And hear what I'm telling you today. Do what James said to do. Submit yourselves to the Lord. Wash your hands. Purify your heart. Trust in his grace. Don't surrender to what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to distract you. He's trying to tell you the grass is a little greener over there. He's trying to pull you away from the king and the kingdom. But I'm telling you, there's life and there's hope in Jesus. There is a better life. Trust him. Surrender to him. Obey him. Follow his commands. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. Surrender your heart to him today. Right there where you're sitting, just tell him, Lord, I've been pushing you away, but not anymore. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. I submit my life to you. Lord, whether I'm in the seventh grade or whether I'm in the 70th year, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Lord, I believe you've got a better plan for me than I thought. I'm 85, but you've got a better plan for me now. I'm 15, but you've got a plan for me now. Lord, I surrender to your plan and to your purpose. I submit myself to you. Devil, you have no part in my life. I resist you. I say no to sin, and I'm going to move towards God and all that he has for me. Lord, let that be the choice that we make today as we surrender our heart and life to you. Let your grace be upon this house, those online, everyone who is surrendering their heart and submitting their life to you. Let your grace be upon them. Let me say it again, young or old, there is a life in Jesus that's beyond anything you can imagine. And the devil wants to distract you and misdirect you, but I urge you, I appeal to you, listen to me, follow Jesus, serve him, obey him, let him be the Lord of your life, the Lord of your marriage, the Lord of your school years, the Lord of your relationships. Let him be what he longs to be in your life. Come near to him, and he'll come near to you, and it'll make all the difference. It'll make all the difference. Lord, let it be. There's a path that's been laid out, a path by way of the cross, a path that leads to life eternal for all that will give their lives to Jesus in surrender and in faith. He's pledged to lift you up, to bring you from death to life, and to be the light and the life in you, and he will lead you into his truth, and you'll walk in that path, and you'll know his grace, and you'll know his mercy. There is a path that leads to life. Choose life. Choose this day. Choose life. Choose to surrender and to walk with the Lord. He will not leave you. He'll not forsake you. He'll walk with you, and he will guide your steps. He will overshadow you with his presence, and you will know his peace and his grace. Trust him. Look to him. Turn to him. Submit your life to him today, for there is another path, but that way leads to death and to destruction. So the Spirit of the Lord calls you to obedience and surrender. Choose life today. Choose life. Lord, I thank you for the urging of the Holy Spirit this morning by your gifts, Lord, that you urge us again to make this choice to follow Jesus, to serve you, to surrender to you. Oh, listen, hear me today. Hear me today. Right there where you're sitting, at home or in this house, right there. Don't walk out of this place still determined that you can do it your way and find what you're looking for. You won't. You won't. It's coming to Jesus and surrendering your heart and life to him It's the only path that leads to life. Going by way of the cross, where you lay it all down and you find that new life, resurrection life in Jesus. It's the only way to live. Jesus said, whoever finds his life is going to lose it, but whoever loses his life in me and for me, you're going to find it. You want to find your life? Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus and follow him and serve him. Oh, let it be for us today that we make that choice in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're here to help you. If you've surrendered, submitted your life to Jesus, we want to help you on that journey. You can talk to one of the pastors, contact us, go to cagtulsa.com, the email. We'll get resources to you to help you on the journey. Living for Jesus, it's the greatest thing in the world. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace now and forever. Amen and amen. Thanks for watching us this morning. Thanks for joining us online. Thanks for being here. May God bless you. Let his grace go with you. There's even more grace available. Amen. We'll see you next Wednesday or next Sunday morning. Blessings on you.